breaking news. Just a few hours ago, we find out Carson Wentz is headed to Indy. We'll give you all the particulars of the deal, why one person here says Wentz can be an MVP in his new offense. Plus, is the trade fair for the Eagles? NFL Live with you for the hour with all the angles. And, of course, that means we begin with Adam Schefter to start the show. Let's start with this, Adam. Simply, how did the trade come about?
Well, Laura, they have been talking for the last few weeks, really the last 19 days. Once Matthew Stafford got traded to the Rams, I think talks heated up between the Colts and the Eagles to the point where this was going to happen. Carson Wentz did not want to be back in Philadelphia, and as much as the Eagles didn't want to move on from Carson Wentz, they recognized that it was the right thing to do at this time. And so the two sides danced for the last 3 weeks, and really the trade could have come down at any time during the last 19 days, but it just so happened that today the Eagles recognized that there wasn't going to be another team stepping up and making an offer better than the one it got from the Colts. There wasn't going to be another team that stepped in and made the Eagles think long and hard. And the Eagles had to go on with their offseason planning, clear their books, not have to pay Carson Wentz the $10 million roster bonus due next month. And so they decided to make the deal, agreeing to it today, where Carson Wentz gets sent to the Colts.
So much more coming your way from Schefty, as well as perspective from Sal Powell, and we're packed with analysts from top to bottom here. We're going to give you all the latest on Carson Wentz and this trade, of course. Louis Riddick, Damian Woody, you'll see him in just a moment. Dan Graziano, as well as Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, they'll be with us in a bit with their thoughts. So glad that you chose to hang with us today on NFL Live, and let's get right to it with these guys. Dan, we'll start with you. What does all this mean for the Colts?
Well, Laura, you know, the Colts needed a quarterback, the retirement of Phillip Rivers. He was a one-year solution for them. So this was kind of the best option they had available to them. The Colts know they're not going to be in any kind of Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, if there ever is one, because Houston's not going to trade him to a division team. So knowing that's off the table, they look at what their other options are. And Carson Wentz is a player that Colts head coach Frank Reich knows well from the time he was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia when Wentz was there and playing the best that he ever has as an NFL player. Press Taylor is a quarterback's coach on the, he's a coach on the Colts staff who was the Eagles quarterback's coach this past year, knows Carson Wentz well. So they looked at Carson Wentz, looked at the price that they were being asked to pay, what he's going to make on his contract, and said, look, we think we have the people in the building that can get him playing well again, that can connect with him and bring the best out of him. So it's worth making this deal and paying this price for him because we think he's the best option available to us to be our starting quarterback next year.
Laura, I'm going to make this real simple. It's put up or shut up a time for Carson Wentz now, okay? We enough with the excuses and the personnel deficiencies that the Eagles, that everyone said the Eagles had around Carson Wentz. Enough of that, because he's now going to an organization that has one of the best rosters from top to bottom, a team that finished in the top 10 in both offense and defense. So for me, as it relates to Carson Wentz, he has all the physical traits. He has the pieces around him. Can Frank Wright rehab Carson Wentz from the neck up? Because to me, that's the area that they need him to come around the most. From the neck up, his confidence and getting ingratiated with his teammates. If they can unlock that, boy, that could be a scary sight for the other teams in the AFC.
Yeah, look, from a structural standpoint, both on and off the field, this represents the perfect match for Carson. Or rather, it gives him the best chance to kind of reclaim his form from 2017, if you will, which is obviously when he was playing at his very best, or at the end of 2019, whichever one you want to pick. Look, on the football field, we understand that this is a team that's built inside out. It's built from front to back. Chris Ballard, the general manager, is taking care of both lines, both offensively and defensively. He has leadership at all the, you know, really requisite signal caller positions, whether it be the Mike linebacker position, whether it be the center position. He needs leadership and he needs a stud at the quarterback position. And he believes with the right pairing, with the right kind of, you know, relationship building, that Carson Wentz will provide that for him. Now, we'll see whether or not Carson could go ahead and now take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and really take advantage of this situation, which means this. For as much as Chris Ballard, the general manager, is setting the table for Carson, Carson needs to now take advantage of it not go ahead and try and circumvent the people on the football field and the people in the coaching meeting rooms, not try to circumvent them and go to leadership in any way, shape, or form, some of the things he's been accused of doing when he was in Philadelphia, and stay on task here. Stay on the straight and narrow as far as doing what you need to do for your position, for your quarterback room, for the offense overall, and for the team overall. Because there's really no excuse anymore. There really isn't. Now, I understand that Philadelphia didn't necessarily always help him in the best way they could, and they probably read the room wrong as far as what was best for Carson mentally. Chris Ballard is reading it right, and he is banking on Frank Reich, along with the leadership in his locker room, to go ahead and provide a structure for Carson to do everything he needs to do. It's a fascinating, fascinating situation. This is about relationship building 101, without a doubt, which is something I talk about ad nauseum on ESPN. We're going to see if it's something that really will manifest itself in this guy reclaiming his form. Because if it doesn't, Carson's going to have a lot of time to look himself in the mirror and go, where did I go wrong and how did I not maximize this?
Yeah, you know, Lewis, to your point, a lot of people aren't as fortunate as Carson Wentz is here to even get a second chance. And even in the NFL, as a microcosm of society, we don't see this that often. Damian, would you bet on Carson Wentz becoming a top 10 quarterback next year, getting back to 2017 Carson Wentz? And I'm talking like a big bet. Would you take that bet right now?
Listen, Laura, you see this piano and this stuff in my house? I'm not willing to bet that right now. I'm not betting that right now, because when it comes to issues from the neck up, there's so much unknown there. We know physically, from a physical standpoint, Carson Wentz can do just about everything the other elite quarterbacks can do. But from a mental aspect, that remains to be seen from Carson Wentz. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah, that piano is pretty nice. We got to see you tickle the ivories a little later on. all right, Adam, what else do you want to add to what these guys are saying here?
Well, Laura, here's why the Colts are so comfortable making this deal. They are comfortable because their head coach is Frank Reich. And Carson Wentz had his best seasons with Frank Reich as his offensive coordinator. And Frank Reich had Carson performing at an MVP level before he hurt his knee. And so when the Colts surveyed the landscape of potential quarterbacks to replace Phillip Rivers and Andrew Luck there in Indianapolis, ultimately they decided that this was the best bet they could make at this point in time. If it doesn't work out, it costs them a third-round pick this year and a conditional two next year. If it does work out, they got a potential MVP-type quarterback for the price they did. And again, you may think about this also. 1 year ago, Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, Carson Wentz, the Eagles quarterback, no pandemic. A lot has changed in Philadelphia over 1 year.
Yeah, it feels like it happened so fast, and yet it also feels like it's dragged on for a while, which is very weird. Let's flip this to the Eagles side of things, Adam. What are their plans at quarterback with Wentz completely out of the picture? Jalen Hurts, of course, still there.
Jalen Hurts is QB1 right now, Laura, but let's also keep this in mind, that the Eagles will be in the quarterback market. They're going to bring in somebody else, whether that's a veteran free agent, whether that's somebody through the draft, whether they trade for somebody. Let's see what they do, and let's see how aggressive they are. I don't think it's automatically Jalen Hurts' starting job from day one going to training camp. He goes in as the favorite, and they have a lot of faith and confidence in him right now. But that doesn't mean that the Eagles are going to stop looking around at quarterbacks right now. They're not. They've got the sixth pick in the draft. There's a level of intrigue there. I still think the Eagles are in the quarterback market.
Yeah, there could still be some really talented quarterbacks in this draft available at that sixth pick. We'll talk more about that specifically a little bit later on NFL Live. The Eagles likely turning to Jalen Hurts under center, at least to start. He started the team's last four games of the season last year. And while Hurts' completion percentage as the Eagles starting quarterback was below 52%, at least he was throwing for more yards per attempt than Wentz, while taking sacks at a much lower rate as well. Hurts also rushed for nearly 70 yards per game across those four starts. Overall, both had their struggles, of course, posting sub-50 QBRs as the team's starter. So, Dan, we heard what Adam Schefter already said, but is Hurts the quarterback for the Eagles now? Is he the guy there?
Well, Laura, as Adam pointed out, I mean, the Eagles could certainly turn to other options, including the draft. They're holding that number six pick. And look, everything we know about the Eagles and how they operate regarding the quarterback position tells us that if there's a guy available to them in this draft, especially that high, that they think is a true franchise quarterback, they're not going to pass on him just because they think Jalen Hurts deserves a fair shot. They took Hurts last year in the second round, even though they owed Carson Wentz all this money on this massive contract. All they owe Hurts is $3.5 million over the next 3 years. Only about $800,000 of that is guaranteed. They are not committed to him. And if they find someone they think is better, I fully anticipate that the Eagles would make the move to select that player, maybe even moving up a couple spots if it's somebody they're really sold on. So at this point, given the way their roster looks, if the season opened tomorrow, yes, I think he would be their quarterback. But I don't think it's a sure thing that that's still the case come September.
And in a funky full circle type way, the drafting of Jalen Hurts really affected Carson Wentz mentally in a lot of ways. What would you do here, Lewis?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, Laura, I think there's no question that they have to look at acquiring another quarterback simply because they don't have any other ones on the roster. I mean, Nate Sudfeld's a free agent, and they have a reserve future type player who they have under contract, but there's no one else. So, of course, they're going to need to fortify that position, and I don't think there's any way you can go forward given what the expectations are both internally and externally at Philadelphia. There's no way you can continue. You could go forward without looking at, you know, other bringing in some other players to this position, especially if the value presents itself in the draft in particular. I mean, sitting there at six, they have some options now as far as whether they want to sit where they are right there and pick whoever falls to them, or whether or not they want to be mobile and move up, especially if they feel as though they have a trade partner with which they can move up and get a quarterback who really is franchise changing. With 148 pass attempts for Jalen Hurts, there's no way you can feel comfortable with that, again, given what their expectations are and given what Philadelphia historically has felt concerning acquiring quarterbacks, especially when the value presents itself. So I think the door is wide open for them to make a big move, particularly in the draft, and especially if one of those top quarterbacks is available to be had either by falling or if they can go up and get one.
Yeah, I agree absolutely 100% with what Lewis is talking about. Listen, this is a new coaching staff that's coming in. They're not committed to Jalen Hurts. And we know that Jalen Hurts, we've all known that Jalen Hurts has the intangibles, whether it's from his days at Alabama or Oklahoma. But if you look at the situation with the Philadelphia Eagles and where they stand as a franchise, this is a franchise, in my opinion, that's rebuilding. So if you have an opportunity at the number six pick to pluck a guy in the NFL draft that suits what you want to do offensively and team building wise, then absolutely Philadelphia Eagles are going to make that type of move. So, yes, I think that the draft is not going to preclude the Philadelphia Eagles from adding to this quarterback mix.
With such a small sample size, it's hard to really get a read on Jalen Hurts. But I will tell you guys this. Philadelphia's yards per play average with Wentz on the field would have ranked last in the league last season. Their mark with Hurts on field would have actually ranked 14th. So maybe that's another way to look at it. Breaking news here on NFL Live today. Carson Wentz to be traded to the Colts. And Adam Schefter, of course, broke the story with Chris Mortensen. Fill us in on the details, Adam.
Essentially, there's a trade that was a long time in coming, Laura. The two sides have been talking for close to 3 weeks, and they had the parameters of a deal pretty much in place, but the Eagles wanted to make sure that nobody else stepped in. And I think one of the reasons that the Colts were so aggressive to getting Carson Wentz is because Frank Reich believes that Carson Wentz can return to his form of being a top quarterback. And this represented Indianapolis's best option at this time at the quarterback position. And the Eagles need to get their cap in line. They need to basically clear Carson Wentz's spot before he was due a $10 million roster bonus in the middle of March. And let's be honest, Carson Wentz didn't want to go back to Philadelphia. It hasn't gotten the attention that Deshaun Watson has in Houston. But it wasn't all that different where Carson Wentz basically didn't want to go back to Philadelphia, and the Eagles knew that it was in their best interest to move on from him at this point in time.
Yeah, really important piece of the story there with that. All right, more Adam coming your way. But how about this? Let's bring in Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes joining us here today with their thoughts on this. And listen, I mean, we couldn't have had Carson Wentz traded and not get Orlovsky on this, especially with his love affair with the former Eagles quarterback. More on his vacation look in a moment. But first, this.
for the sake of the stupidity of this,
you have to actually watch the football games.
2017, he's third in the league. And last year, he's not in your top 100. Anybody who voted for this list needs glasses.
Carson Wentz.
Oh, Carson Wentz.
The facts are,
he's got a better completion percentage. He threw for 1,000 more yards.
How's my energy now, bub?
Mina Kimes is behind this, and I will not stand for this buffoonery.
Do they think that Carson Wentz could be great again?
This year feels like there's some disconnect.
He played bad this year.
But Carson Wentz is definitely fixable.
How?
I just don't understand how.
Oh, there's a little change of tune there, Mina.
I love it.
I'm just laughing at my face in all these clips. But I got to say, I am overjoyed that Dan is joining us from his vacation in Disney World. That's why we're seeing casual Dan. I actually found this because I wanted to make sure, Dan, that you didn't feel...
Oh, Minnie Mouse.
My daughter has the same...
And I am ready to give...
...at Hollywood Studios last night.
Yeah, I love the Disney love here. Listen, more on that, of course, later. But let's get to it here. Dan, did Philly... get enough for Wentz in your mind?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we're talking about a guy that, when it's right, he's a top 6 or 7 player in the NFL. You know, I think the reality for this move when it comes to the Colts is it places them. I think there's 4 teams, as we sit here today, that are top of the AFC conference. Kansas City, obviously. Buffalo, obviously. Cleveland, and this puts Indy in that top 4. Number 2, I would put Carson Wentz into the MVP conversation. I believe in him and Indianapolis that much. And then 3, I'd say this. This 2021 Colts team is going to look a heck of a lot like that 2017 Philadelphia Eagles team. You're talking about a top 5 offensive line and run game. That's what he had in Philly. Philly didn't have a star in 2017. They had like 4 or 5 really good pieces around them. That's what Indy has, top 10 defense. I believe in Carson Wentz, and I know everyone's talking about the mental aspect and all that, and we're going to get into that, but I think that this is a absolute home run for the Colts and something that the Eagles will absolutely regret 2 or 3 years from now.
Really subtle there by Dan, Mina.
MVP. The man said the words MVP. Okay.
Yep.
Let's put a pin in Wentz and the Colts. Laura asked us about Philly and what they got. We will get to that, Dan Orlovsky. Who else was bidding on Carson Wentz? Schefter reported that the Bears didn't even make a call. I think, like, from Philadelphia's perspective, if you're looking at this in totality, the trajectory of his career, the contract they gave him, the way the team and the roster have been handled, disaster. But if you're just focusing on this trade and the options they had once it was clear that Carson Wentz was not coming back, I actually don't think it was that bad of an outcome for Philadelphia. When I first saw it, I saw they weren't getting a first-round pick back. I was concerned, but then it was reported that the second-rounder it's a conditional first if Wentz plays at least 3/4 of snaps, which I think is likely to happen. We're talking about a quarterback who was arguably the worst starter in the NFL last year. Now, Dan, I don't think he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. I think there were many mitigating circumstances. I am not that extreme. Okay. But the fact that they were able, that Philadelphia was able to get even this much for him, it's not the worst possible outcome for them. And now they can focus on rebuilding, especially once his contract is off of the books in 2022.
I want to hit on 2 things when it comes to that conversation. Yes, if he plays the 70% of the snaps, they're going to get that first-round pick and then a third-round pick. So, first of all, another huge aspect of Indy and their success with Carson, they keep their 1 and 2 this season. That's a big deal. Like, Mina, I remember you talking about it this year in regards to the things that failed around Carson Wentz, and you touched on Howie Roseman and him missing on some draft picks. We all did because they're there. Just because they're getting a potential first-round pick and a third-round pick doesn't mean that it's a good trade-off. especially if he goes back to 17 form. Certainly if he goes back to 18 or 19 form. Well, I want to hit on the confidence aspect because I think this is an important thing because everyone has mentioned, rightfully so, that it's a mental thing. I was around some good coaches in the NFL, and I was around some bad coaches in the NFL. The first coach that ever instilled confidence in me was Gary Kubiak, and he instilled that confidence. I accepted the confidence, and then I believed in it. Like, I remember Coop sitting there all the time and being like, this is the type of player in practice reps. That's the guy you are. That's the guy you are. And I constantly was like, all right, Coops is right. And it was like this daily routine. I think that was lost in Philadelphia. And that's why Frank Reich is this type of coach. Like, people are talking about the ability to get confidence back as it's impossible. Not if it's with right the people. If it's with the right coach, that confidence will come back quick. You're going to watch. Carson Wentz is going to get back the stinger, the confidence because of the coaching. Gary Kubiak did it for me. I felt like I was the best player I ever was when I was with him in Indy, or in Houston, excuse me. And that's why this trade is so important, both for the Indianapolis Colts and also for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, you know, Mina, Dan makes it sound so simple there. And listen, maybe it is. Maybe it is just flipping that switch back on. But there were some mechanical things. There were some things that Wentz needed to work on there. In your mind, is it just the mental that needs to be fixed here?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, absolutely not. What we saw last year was a team that failed their quarterback, Dan, and a team that was really unlucky. I don't want to put this all on Howie. I mean, the offensive line was brutally injured. That's nobody's fault. We're talking about an offensive line that used to be very, very good during Carson Wentz's peak years. That's something that they cannot be blamed for. But Wentz himself, when you watch the tape, it wasn't like when we watched the Super Bowl and we saw Patrick Mahomes under pressure on every down, you know, making wild throws. Carson Wentz was refusing to not only take checkdowns at times, but throw certain routes. I mean, the entire playbook was cut in half. Mechanically, he was a disaster. He was bounce passing screens. Now, the question, which Dan correctly pointed out, is can he return to that 2017 form? I think it's unlikely because when you look back at that season, the season in which he was an accessible MVP candidate, what he was doing, it was unsustainable on third down and in the red zone. Those are character. When we look at quarterbacks in their season, we think, okay, can this be repeated? If a quarterback is really, really, really good only in those situations, it makes it less likely that it's going to recur. Now, I think it is totally plausible that we see 2019 Carson Wentz. And that was a good quarterback. Dan, I don't think he was a great quarterback. Well, this is where we, of course, have gotten into many disagreements, of course. But I don't think he was a top-tier quarterback. I think he was an above-average quarterback. And I also think Indianapolis didn't have a lot of options. That's why I'm not angry at them for making this trade, because we're talking about a team that's picking 21st in the draft, so the four top prospects are out of reach for them. Matt Stafford's gone. Deshaun Watson is not getting traded in division. They didn't have many choices. So I think for Indianapolis, that did make a ton of sense. I just don't think it's likely that we're going to get an MVP year out of him.
The quarterback position right now in the NFL is different than it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the whole philosophy was quarterback make everybody around him better because of the rules, because of spacing, and because of how smart coaches have become. It's everybody around the quarterback make them better. Indy has the pieces and the coaches to take a very talented player to the next level. That's why I'm confident Carson Wentz will be an MVP type of performer next year. Bet it, Kimes.
He doubled down. One thing want to clarify really fast, guys, when it comes to the Bears, Adam Schefter reported that they did call on Carson Wentz, but just did not make an offer there. All right, so Mina's going to go beyond around the horn, so you'll see her right after our show is over. Dan's coming back for more, and he'll be joining Marcus Spears. We got a whole lot more coming your way. The Eagles will take on a $33 million dead money cap charge next season after trading Wentz to the Colts. But remember, they gave up quite a bit to draft him in the first place, sending five future picks, including two first-rounders, to the Browns in 2016. Then in June of 2019, the team doubled down on Wentz, signing him to a four-year extension with that $107.9 million in guaranteed money. We've got Dan Graziano, Damian Woody, and Lewis Riddick here. And Dan, let's start with this. Just what went wrong with Wentz and the Eagles?
Well, I mean, Sal hit on a bunch of it there, but I mean, look, over the last couple of years, the team has kind of crumbled a little bit. I mean, they haven't drafted particularly well, or at least their picks haven't hit. The offensive line and the offensive core that was around him in 2017 when he was having that MVP caliber year, when they were 11-2 at the time that he got hurt, it just hasn't stayed together and they haven't replenished it. And then you look at, you know, he has had some injury issues. He had, you know, he had a concussion that knocked him out of the playoff game last year. They draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. This obviously caused a lot of friction, and he didn't seem to handle it very well. No offseason last year, so if he did come into the year with mechanical or footwork issues, there was no time to iron them out. And I mean, we've been over it. I mean, mentally, he just seemed to not be locked in the way he was earlier in his career, and it became an untenable situation.
Yeah, look, I think from a front office perspective, Laura, everything that you do, every transaction that you make, you have to keep in mind that your job is to reduce the risk of the transaction going sideways and trying to enhance the probability of the transaction paying off and giving you the return on investment that you want. And I think that's one of the things that Philadelphia kind of miscalculated, especially considering the fact that it's no big secret that Carson was coddled, he was enabled, he was treated differently in Philadelphia in a way that really didn't benefit him. It kind of led to bad habits, led to probably not the level of accountability that he needed to be held to. And I think that's going to change in Indianapolis. There will be no circumventing the coaching staff and going to the general manager and the owner and being able to express your displeasure or your, you know, your issues directly with them and bypassing the coaching staff. It will be a nice orderly process by which they're going to support him. And make no mistake about it, Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are going to support him to the utmost. It's well within their best interest to do that, and they're setting it up to do that. I think when you're talking about what went wrong, look, a lot of those things have been clearly articulated both on the field and off the field. But what also went wrong, and there's no escaping this, is the way Carson handled a multitude of situations that really were going to be a test in regards to his mental resiliency and his fortitude. He failed some of those tests. We're going to see if he's going to fail them now. There's not going to be as many, you know, stumbling blocks and as many obstacles in his way in Indianapolis as there were in Philadelphia over the past couple of years. So it's really going to be even more so about him. And that's what makes this so fascinating. You know, we want to continue to send, you know, lodge grenades at Philadelphia, and we've done that plenty and rightfully so. But this is on the player this time going forward until proven otherwise, and that's what makes it so fascinating.
Yeah, and Damian, I realize that these are grown men, but I mean, people talk in the NFL, and yes, they'll give him a fair chance, but how do you think Carson Wentz is going to mesh in this Colts locker room with all the information that is out there about what happened in Philly?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, Laura, you touched upon it. You know, the NFL is a small fraternity of men, and everyone talks and, you know, kind of does their background and see what type of teammate this guy is. And Lewis touched upon it as well, how Carson Wentz was coddled and how he circumvented the head coach and had the ear of upper management. Well, I can tell you as a former player, that doesn't sit well with most guys in the locker room, because you want your quarterback to feel like they're in the mud with you. They're grinding with you. And, you know, you hear stories about Philip Rivers, how he ingratiated himself with the teammates in Indianapolis and just had a really good rapport with that team. And I also go with Tom Brady, a former teammate of mine. And I know it was, you know, Tom Brady and I won two Super Bowls early on in the career. But When you hear Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, just gush about how Tom Brady makes himself feel like he's one of the guys, even a guy as accomplished as Tom Brady, that carries a lot of weight with the rest of the team in that locker room. So can Carson Wentz do the same thing? Can he ingratiate himself with the rest of the guys in that Indianapolis Colts locker room?
Yeah, and that's where you got to think that the endorsement of Frank Reich matters so much here. He's the one with the history with Carson Wentz. If he goes into that locker room and says, hey, guys, I trust this man, that could go a long way. Hey, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Dan Graziano, Damian Woody, and Lewis Riddick. We will see you next time. It's today, Carson Wentz headed to Indy. Adam Schefter here with all the latest. So fill us in, Adam.
Well, Laura, this is the next trade in an offseason of a lot of quarterback moves. And the talks between the Colts and the Eagles really began to heat up shortly after Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff were traded for each other the week before the Super Bowl. And I think the framework for this deal was in place for quite some time. But the Eagles wanted to make sure there was not a better offer out there, that there was not another team that was going to step in and make a deal for Carson Wentz at the last moment, when in fact the market for him was rather limited. The Bears talked to the Eagles, but never made an offer. And the one team that did make an offer was the Colts, and they made the offer as strong as they did, in large part because their head coach Frank Reich worked with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, worked with him during a potential MVP season, and believes that he can get him back to form. And they believed that Carson Wentz represents the best quarterback option for Indianapolis at this point in time. And Philadelphia, what a change. Think back a year ago. Doug Peterson was the head coach. Carson Wentz was the quarterback with the big contract. Things were calm. Fans were in attendance. A lot is different in Philadelphia right now, which has some questions now going forward. Jalen Hurts is the likely starter, but Philadelphia still will be in the market looking for another quarterback to add. We'll see whether they add one through trade, free agency, or the draft.
Yeah, Adam, you mentioned last year, if we knew then what we know now, my goodness. Thanks, Adam Schefter, for all the latest here. Let's bring in our guys, Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears. We start with you, Swagoo. You hadn't gotten a chance to react yet on this show to this. What is your reaction to the trade of Carson Wentz to the Colts?
First, I'm happy for him. Look, we've talked about him trying to reconnect with Frank Reich to try to get his career back on track. But now this is the pressure. This is bigger pressure than being in Philly. And I'm going to illustrate to you why. You go to a team that's already a playoff team. You go to a team that already has a significant identity of being strong in the trenches and being able to run the football. So from a standpoint of on the field, Carson shouldn't be under as much pressure to perform as an elite guy. He needs to be a facilitator, take care of the football, do all of those things. In year one, right? Establish yourself, get around these guys, ingratiate yourself with everybody that's in this locker room. But the pressure comes from, what if you hurt us? What if you don't help us like we think you are? Like this idea that everybody has that he's going to be back with Frank Reich, which, by the way, let me explain. I do too. I believe he's going to be better too with Frank Reich. But I also want to see how Carson Wentz is going to respond when things aren't good in Indy. It's football. Y'all know I said this months ago. You will go through adversity in this game. I don't care if you're on the bench. Y'all saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl? That's adversity. Like, so with Carson Wentz, the excitement of him going to Indy should absolutely be there. Him reconnecting with Frank Reich should absolutely be there. Carson Wentz now is under more pressure than he's ever been in the NFL. And the reason why everybody is talking about the pressure and the confidence and the consistency and the mental toughness is because that is the part that really bothered me. That's the part that bothered me more than anything. Skills, talent, we knew Carson had all of that. I didn't like his response to adversity. So this amount of pressure now with a really good football team is going to be fun and interesting to watch.
Yeah, completely disagree. I think, first of all, people need to understand that there's two kinds of pressures, right? There's the pressure that comes with the expectation that Marcus, you, myself, Mina, Ruddy, like everyone's going to place on Carson Wentz. But there's also the pressure to like perform because of what's around you. Carson Wentz last year in the NFL threw 9 second half interceptions, 9 interceptions after halftime that led the NFL. 8 of them were when trailing. Why? Because the football team wasn't very good. because you're trying to do so much. So the pressure to perform isn't going to be as big in Indy as far as like what needs to get done because of the complementary aspect of the football team. Number two, there's a difference between being a bad player and playing bad. If anyone's going to sit here and tell me that Carson Wentz is a bad player, we're going to get into a lot of words. He played bad last year. He's not a bad player. And the last thing I would say is this. It's funny how people will skew because everyone will rave about Chris Ballard and rave about Frank Reich, but then go into this cautious. They gave up a third-round pick and basically a first-round pick for Carson Wentz. If we're going to sit here and say Chris Ballard's a top GM in the NFL, which he is, then we need to give him the same – we have to have the same vantage point of Carson Wentz that he does, that he's sitting there and goes, this is my shot. This is my chance, and that's the guy that I'm going to go trade for. I'm going to do it smartly because I know what the market is. But to sit here and say, like, oh, Frank's great and Ballard's great, but I don't know if anybody else really wanted Carson Wentz is silly. At the end of the day, he's got a great football team around him, and he's going to play awesome football.
Yeah, you know, Dan, as you're saying that, it's making me think that Chris Ballard's faith is also in Frank Reich. I mean, anything else, he's putting so much on what Reich is saying. But, Marcus, I know you were watching earlier when Dan said that Carson Wentz can be an MVP with the Colts in this offense. I have to get your reaction to that. MVP, those are the three letters he said.
I don't think he can be the MVP. I think he could be very good and kind of resurrect his career and resurrect himself as a top player. But that ain't what the Indy is. I don't think he's going to have enough opportunities to be the MVP. We talking about dudes MVP. The dude that won the MVP this year threw the ball double what they ran the football at in Green Bay. In Kansas City, we saw the MVP. It's because you pushing the ball downfield. Quarterbacks win the MVPs because of a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor's still in the backfield. Naheem Hines still back there. Like, Indy is going to run the football a lot. That is what they're going to do because that's how they set up and structure. So the MVP thing, Dan out of his mind, but he in his feelings because Carson is in Indy now.
No. First of all, it's February 18th. I said he's going to be in the conversation. For us to sit here and name who the MVP is going to be is silly. He's going to be in the conversation. Marcus, this team in Indy this year is going to look like that team in 2017 in Philly did. You just talked about the run game and the pieces around him and his defense. This kid, Marcus, you know this more than anything. Talent plus confidence. You know he's talented. So, he's now got the people around him to instill confidence.
So Carson, so you saying Carson gonna play like he played in 2017?
Yeah.
That's what you
saying.
Correct.
That's what he's saying.
Correct. And if you want to bet it, we could bet it.
Okay.
Hey, I'll make the bet. You guys are betting $100 on this, whether you like it or not. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for joining us from vacation, Dan. We love it.